is a podcast of 98FM's Dublin Talks. Remember, catch the show live Monday to Friday at 10 a.m. 98FM's Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy.
Coming up next, something very interesting that I know a lot of you will be interested about. I will give you a slight warning, though. Some of the details which we're about to reveal, if you're a bit sensitive, I'll just warn you about that, because I'm about to talk to a woman on the show. And she's unique in that she's one of the few people who managed to survive an attack by notorious serial killer Ted Bundy. Now, you all know who Ted Bundy is. He's been all over the news over the last couple of years. Well, since it came out, the movie came out, on the documentary, and the movie that's still in the cinema at the moment. Of course, Ted Bundy was a serial killer, a necrophile, a kidnapper, raped and murdered numerous young women in the 1970s. And one of the few women who managed to survive an encounter with Ted Bundy was the woman I'm about to speak to in a moment. And her name, well, you've probably seen her being interviewed several, you know, she did interviews in the United States. Kathy Kleiner is her name, and she joins us on the line now to tell us her story. You're very welcome along to 98FM's Dublin Talks, Kathy. How are you?
Thank you.
I have to say, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I've admired what you've done. I've been reading up on your stories over the last couple of weeks as we've been contacting each other back and forth to arrange this interview. And you've done a lot of interviews around the world. Do you ever get fed up talking about Ted Bundy or what happened to you?
Actually, I don't. Each time I talk and tell my story, I seem to heal myself, because it's not something I'm scared of. It's something I understand and something I can talk about. So actually, I don't mind anymore. In the beginning, I did, but now I find it very healing. When I first was attacked, it was, like I said, a little difficult. But then I understood, if I read about who Ted Bundy was and I tried to understand him as a person, and then as the demon that he was, it seemed to help me to know that there were two separate entities to him, and that it wasn't all bad. He portrayed and wanted people to believe he was good as well.
So let's go back to 1978. You were asleep in your Florida sorority house. For those of us, we don't have sorority houses here, but so I'll explain to our listeners that it's like an on-campus sort of living quarters where you would live when you're in college. Is that correct?
It is a campus. Yes, you can live there. A sorority is a group of women who have compatible interest. There are several sororities that was on the FSU campus. Chi Omega was one of them. There were six or seven different sororities around FSU.
So that day in particular, 1978, you were asleep in your Florida sorority house. What age were you at the time, Kathy?
I just turned 20.
Ted Bundy, from what I believe, this was either his second or his third escape, so he was on the run at that time, is that right?
I understand that now. I did not understand at the time. I didn't know who Ted Bundy was. I was in college, I was in the sorority, I was having fun, and Ted Bundy was not on my radar. I don't know if many women followed that as far as who he was and what he was doing.
So take us back to that night in 1978, if you will. You're asleep in your bed in your sorority. What happened?
Being asleep, I heard our bedroom door open. Now, the sorority had several rooms that we lived in. Each room had two people in them. So in my room, I had Karen, was my roommate. Our room was rather small, like a dormitory room. As I'm sleeping, I hear a noise with happens to be someone opening our bedroom door. It woke me up a little bit, kind of brought me out of a deep sleep. And then between our twin beds, which were parallel against each wall, we had a little trunk, a small trunk that had our stairs and different things in it. It was about 3 feet long and about 3 feet high.
There was two beds in the sorority room, your bed and Karen's bed. There was a trunk on the ground in between both beds.
Correct. After I heard our bedroom door open a little bit, Ted Bundy tripped over that trunk because it was so dark in our room. He couldn't see what was going on. Now that woke me up completely. I'm laying in bed, still confused, not knowing what that noise was. And I looked and I saw someone standing next to my bed. It was dark, as I said, and this person was dressed in dark clothes. He had a dark knit cap on, dark jacket. When I looked, I saw him raise his arm above his head. He was holding something in his arm, in his hand, which I found out later to be a log, a piece of firewood that he had picked up from outside. As I looked, he struck me in the face with the log. I felt it was a numb feeling. It wasn't very, you know, it didn't hurt right away. It didn't feel like pain.
It was full force. He hit you with full force,
yes,
did he?
Yes.
I'm sorry for cutting across you, Cathy, but please stay there for a second because I need to take a quick break. It's 98FM's Dublin Talks. We're talking to Cathy Kleiner, one of the very lucky woman to have survived attack by notorious serial killer Ted Bundy. And we'll talk to her more straight after the break. Don't go away. We are talking to a woman who survived an attack by notorious serial killer Ted Bundy. As you know, in the last year or so, there's been a renewed interest in all things Ted Bundy. Of course, there was the Netflix documentary, the Ted Bundy confession tapes, that most of you will have watched on Netflix. And then, of course, the movie came out earlier on, last month actually, Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile is the name of the movie. Zac Efron plays Ted Bundy. And the reason it's called that is because that's what the judge described Ted Bundy as, extremely wicked, shockingly evil and vile. He was a killer. He kidnapped, raped and murdered numerous young women and girls during the 1970s and possibly after. Before he was executed, he confessed to over 30 homicides that he committed. And the woman I'm speaking to on the line, Cathy Kleiner, is one of the few women who managed to survive an encounter with Ted Bundy, and she joins me on the line from New Orleans. Now, before the break, Cathy, you were telling us about the night that you were asleep in your bed in your sorority when Ted Bundy arrived in, and I mean, terrifying for any woman to be listening, or anybody for that matter, to wake up and find a figure standing over you in your bedroom. So, if you will, please, Cathy, take us up what happened straight after Ted Bundy attacked you.
After I made noise, Karen, my roommate, started to stir. He went just right to Karen's bed, which was just a few feet from mine, and he attacked her. Again, he used the log, the club, and he hit her in the face. I was still making noise, and Ted Bundy did not leave victims. In my mind, I was screaming as loud as I could, asking for help, asking him to stop. But actually, because of my injuries, all I was doing was gurgling. When he attacked me, my injuries included a broken jaw. My jaw was actually shattered and hanging from one joint. Also, he had torn open my cheek so that from my lips up to my ear, the cheek was open. You could see inside my mouth. I also bit my tongue almost off. So these injuries tend to be very hurt. Now it really stung, and it felt like I was hit in the head.
You were lying in your bed, unable to speak because of the horrific injuries that you had sustained from Bundy hitting you with this firewood. Are you looking over at the bed beside you to your friend Karen?
I think I did. The room, as I said, was very dark, and I wanted to keep an eye on whoever this was. because if he was going to strike me again, I wanted to be ready for it. And at that point, he raised his arm again over his head. Just then, we had curtains in the end of our room, at the back of our room, and we left the curtains open because we had plants hanging on the rods, for the curtain rods. Our bedroom was on the second floor and faced the back of the house, which is where the parking lot was. Before Bundy could strike me, a car shone up into our bedroom. The lights illuminated the bedroom, so it was very, very bright. And at this point, he thought he was seen. He was spooked. He left our room immediately, thinking I saw him or someone coming home with that light from the car may have seen him. So he ran out of our bedroom, which was on the second floor. He ran down the stairs in the front of the house and ran out the front door. As the light shone up, it illuminated the room so bright. It was such a pleasure, illumination that just felt so, so good, because I knew that the beatings had stopped because he left.
You firmly believe in your heart that you would have been killed, yourself and Karen would have been killed by Bundy had those lights not shone up into the bedroom that night.
I do believe that because the room was so lit up, it was almost like something was taking care of us. And at that point when he left, I knew I was going to be okay. I knew he wasn't going to hit me again. And then the room turned dark. And I was screaming again as loud as I could. And all I was doing was gurgling.
The description that was given, the person that found you in the room after Bundy escaped, said Kathy was found by a fellow sorority sister sitting cross-legged on her bed, blood pouring from her mouth, rocking back and forth and moaning. Do you remember much of that?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I do know there was blood everywhere, on my bed sheets, on the walls. It was just everywhere. And I do remember the sorority sister walking in and seeing us and running out the door. And I remember rocking, and I didn't know how long it was until the paramedics came to my side. And I think at that point I released myself to passing out and to just kind of letting go and letting my feelings kind of ebb out.
So the injuries you sustained from the attack by Bundy, and I'm sure looking back on it now, you know how lucky you were that very few people survived coming in contact with the notorious serial killer. The injuries that you sustained from that attack, how long did it take to recover from those injuries?
Well, to answer your first question, I am still recovering. I continued to have terrible TMJ, which is where your jaw is like very painful and hard to open. When I was in Tallahassee Hospital, I was awake. I do remember a police officer being with me, and it was the same officer that came to my bedside right after the attack. When I was in the hospital, they cleaned up my wounds to see exactly what was wrong, and they took me to the operating room. At that point, they wired my teeth shut, they sewed my cheek together, and my tongue had to be healed by itself. You can't heal a tongue. So my injuries and the pain were so bad at that point.
Still at that point, as you were recovering, you obviously still weren't aware that the man who had attacked you was, and Karen as well, was Ted Bundy and was a notorious serial killer, because, of course, he hadn't come to trial at this stage. Did they make you aware of who this man was?
They did. It was when he was first caught and put into jail in Pensacola, Florida, as he was leaving the state, I still didn't know who he was. And my parents were shielding me. I watched TV, but it was a lot of soap operas. They did not want me to hear the news and watch, read the newspaper, because they were trying to keep me from knowing exactly what happened to me and to Karen. So once Bundy was caught, about a couple weeks later, I was told who it was and what he did and how he had escaped and made his way to Florida State.
Now, of course, you testified against Bundy in court. Tell us about that.
When he was caught and went through the court system, part of the process, of course, was the prosecution and the defense in the courtroom in Miami in 1979. At that point, I was in a separate room while he was being talked to by different witnesses, while they gave their statement. When it was my turn to be brought into the courtroom, they sat me down on the witness stand. I looked across the room, and there sat Bundy. And I looked at him straight in the eyes as he looked me in the eyes. And I felt I had power now over him. He wasn't someone standing over my bed, and I was someone who was going to put him away. And that gave me such power, and it gave me, it made me feel strong. As I looked at him, he did not divert his eyes, neither did I. After my testimony, and I was allowed to leave the courtroom, I was very, I shook a lot because I had faced the devil, and I was okay, but I was strong then, and afterwards I kind of went, woo, what a, that was weird.
That must have taken some amount of strength, personal strength and inner strength, for you to stand in a courtroom, literally sitting opposite Ted Bundy, the man who had crept into your room and tried to kill you, and to look at Ted Bundy straight in the eye. That must have taken some strength, Kathy.
It did. It did, but I wanted that strength, and I knew I had it because, again, I wanted to show it over Ted Bundy. I wanted to show him that he didn't kill me and that what we were doing in the courtroom was going to legally put him away, and that felt good. So the strength it took me to do that and stare at him, it came down from deep within me. I pulled the strength out of my soul. And once you have that strength, no one can take it away from you. So I used that to heal myself, to look at Ted Bundy, and to know that I was going to be okay. I was going to survive this.
Now, of course, Bundy was executed in the electric chair in Florida State Prison. I think it was January 1989. How did you and when did you hear that news? Can you remember where you were when you heard the news? You obviously knew he was on death row and it was only a matter of time. But when he was put to death in 1989, where were you?
I was in Boca Raton. I was sitting with my husband. We had gotten word from the district attorney in Tallahassee that this was actually going to be the day that he would be executed. During all those years that he was on death row, he kept getting stays of execution, which is when a judge says, no, he's not going to be executed. He's going to have an appeal and get to look at his trial again and see if there's anything that was wrong that he could get out of the court system. That day, we were told in the morning that he actually was going to be executed. They called, and my husband Scott and I sat in my sofa and waited. And there was so much on TV, both those who wanted to kill him and both who wanted him to live. So each side of the street had both protesters. We heard by a phone call that he had been killed, and I sat on my sofa and I cried. And Scott, my husband, said I was just really moaning and making noises and crying. And when I got through and felt that I had cleansed myself, and my crying was for Margaret and Lisa, the two sorority sisters that he actually killed that night, I was crying for them to be released and to rest at peace. And it wasn't for me I cried. It was for all the victims that now, hopefully, they were at peace.
Do you believe there were more? I think there was around 30 victims that, you know, that the police were able to identify. Do you believe there were a lot more victims of Bundy?
I do believe that, because in his last months of his death row stay, he was saying there's more. And if you don't kill me, I'll tell you who it was and where they're buried. And he kept doing this over the months, to the point where the prosecutor didn't know if he was telling the truth or not. So yes, I believe there were more victims, and I do believe he knew where they were buried.
Finally, Cathy, over the last year, you know, there's been a documentary on Netflix. There's also been a movie that's still in cinemas at the moment with Zac Efron playing Ed Bundy. Did you watch the miniseries or the movie?
Yes, I've seen both. The tapes on Netflix, there were four series during 4 weeks. And I sat down one night and binge-watched. I watched four of the hours right in a row. The movie, however, I believe the actors played the parts very well. And the actor that played Bundy looked just like him, acted like him. He did a lot of research, so you could see his mannerisms. That movie actually did take you through the victims. It didn't show the violence, but it did name the victims and gave them a face and gave them a life. And there were so many of us as victims that at the end of the movie, they listed all the victims' names, which again gave recognition to them.
And I think that's what Zac Efron said when making the movie. He said, this movie is not for Bundy. It's not about Bundy. This movie is about the victims, victims like yourself. Let me take you to now, to 2019. How are you on a personal level? After someone who survived such an horrific attack that left you with such horrific injuries, to survive an attack by a notorious serial killer, you've been so strong over the years. You've spoken about it openly. How are you now on a personal level?
I am doing great. I've been through other issues in my life for my health and other things. And I remember after the attack, I had physical injuries, but also I wasn't in a good place mentally. I was not having nightmares. I did not feel that I had survivor guilt, but I had other issues. I was afraid of men because, again, we had we didn't know who had attacked me. It was early in February of 1978. And I remember, because I was kind of scared of men, I went to work in a lumber yard in order to cleanse and heal me. And after I did that, I understood that, you know, I can do this. I can be strong and I can face my fears. Also, right after the attack, I was scared. Just in my mind, before I had my wired, before my teeth were opened up from being wired shut. And every time I had a scared feeling, I would take a couple steps forward. And I had a goal, and my goal was to my head to get to the beach. Every step I took forward, I looked behind me, and that Bundy was two steps behind me. And I continued, it took a while, I continued, and when I got to that beach, I looked around behind me, and I couldn't see Bundy anymore. I had healed myself from the attack at that point. I still had issues. I still had surgeries to go through, which again brought it up to mind. But the scary, ugly beating was so far behind me taking those steps and getting to the beach that healed me as well.
Cathy Kleiner, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I know the subject matter was quite disturbing given what happened to you, but it has honestly been a pleasure talking to you. You're someone I have a lot of respect for. I've been following your story over the last couple of years. I think you're very, very brave to be still able to talk about this. And thanks for joining us on 98FM.
Thank you very much for having me.
98FM's Dublin Talks with the Des Kelly Interiors Gift Voucher.
for beds, flooring and more.
98 FM.